Hello and welcome once again. This is Brother Mike at May-21, 2011.com with our final study in Revelation chapter 13. This is the last verse therein, verse 18. The title of this message is "The Wisdom is to Count the Number of the Beast." Let me read the verse before we begin. "Here is wisdom. He that has understanding, let him count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. In our last study of Revelation 13, verse 17, part 2, that you can click on to be refreshed of, we learned that no man had been able to buy or sell in the Christian churches at a time during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011, and even to this very day, unless he had the mark of the beast, or the name of the beast, or the number of its name. This meant that unless one was ruled over by, served, and worshipped the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, also called the man of sin, the abomination of desolation, or the beast, Satan himself, he could not proclaim, that is, sell, the very word of God for these latter days of the end times in the corporate Christian church, and even to this very day. For he who did not have the mark, being of the two witnesses, that's God's true prophets, would be spiritually killed, that is, silenced as quickly as possible. And for more information on that, you can click on Revelation 11, verses 7 through 10. Nor could he receive, that is, buy the counterfeit gospels, teachings, signs and wonders, or spirits now being proclaimed in the Christian churches, even to this very day. For they run counter to the truth. Therefore, in a similar way that many today have been being canceled, silenced, and deplatformed on social media and the mainstream media news because being silenced, that is, spiritually killed in the Christian churches ever since the Great Tribulation first began on May 21, 1988, because they stand for spiritual truth. Once again, nor could he, that is a true believer, receive, that is by, the counterfeit gospels, teachings, signs and wonders, or spirits now being proclaimed in the Christian churches, even to this very day. For they run counter to the truth. Therefore, in a similar way that many today have been being canceled, silenced, and deplatformed on social media and the mainstream media and news, because they stand for a given truth, so have God's true people and prophets, that is the two witnesses, been being silenced, that is spiritually killed, in the Christian churches ever since the Great Tribulation first began on May 21, 1988, because they stand for spiritual truth. God's people are just no longer able to buy or sell the Word of God for these days in the Christian churches because those in the Christian churches have the mark, name, or number of the beast without even knowing it. In fact, God's true people and prophets are now no longer in the Christian churches but have long since departed out from them in obedience to their Lord. And you can click on "Why Leave All Christian Churches" for information on this. What all this means is that only the only ones, that is, who are now able to declare the so-called very word of God in the Christian churches for the days we are now in are the false prophets, false teachers, false evangelists, or simply counterfeit Christians, because they all have the spiritual and invisible mark, name, or number of the beast. And what they declare about these latter days of the end time is false in one or more different ways. Indeed, the Christian churches are now full of counterfeit Christians, but they themselves think they are true Christians, so that they may even still be declaring what they think is the Word of God or Gospel for these days in the Christian media. But they do not know that they are worshiping a lie by still attending their churches, even though their churches had been given over to the devil to rule over them and bring God's judgment against them for all their various false gospels, false teachings, false practices, false spirits, or false signs and wonders that testify to the lie that they worship, namely that they are worshiping the true Christ in their churches when they are not. Yes, all those in the Christian churches today think they are worshiping the true Christ when instead they are worshiping the devil, who is the man of sin, the Antichrist that already came without them even knowing it. Indeed, it has all been Satan's greatest deception ever since he had deceived Eve in the garden. And God's true people have been being called to depart out of the corporate Christian church, which includes all Christian churches, ever since judgment first came upon it on May 21, 1988. For the final judgment on this world had to begin at the house of God, 1 Peter 4:17. And it did begin on May 21, 1988, according to the extremely accurate biblical timeline. And it will continue until the very end, which could come any day now, up to as long as about the year 2035 A.D. Oh, there is some evidence that the end could take place during the Feast of Tabernacles in 2026 A.D., but there is also some evidence that the end could come in 2033 or 2034 A.D., because we are not absolutely certain at this time. It is wisdom to say it could take place any day now, up to as long as about the year 2035 A.D. And as our knowledge grows, perhaps we will eventually come to know the exact year with absolute certainty, as we had learned that the exact date when Judgment Day would begin was May 21, 2011. And you can click on Can We Know to learn about that. Nevertheless, for now, we do know the season in which the end will come. And that season and time is now. For many days of Judgment Day already began on May 21, 2011, with no more eternal salvations possible. And you can click on Evidence and Proofs for May 21, 2011. Therefore, spiritually speaking, the end had already come on May 21, 2011, because the eternal destinies of everyone were then set in stone. Anyone who was not eternally saved by May 21, 2011 cannot now be saved. And all children, sadly, conceived in the womb after May 21, 2011 cannot be saved. Yes, all these billions of people are now guaranteed to perish relatively soon on the last day of Judgment Day that we are now in, when all the unsaved dead will be resurrected and all the unsaved living will be brought forth, including all those still in the Christian churches, to be cast into the lake of fire forever, along with the devil and all his evil host. Well, now let's move on to the next and last verse for today of Revelation 13, which is verse 18. It once again reads like this: "Here is wisdom. He that has understanding, let him count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. The first sentence in this verse, "Here is wisdom," can more literally be translated, "Here the wisdom is." And we will follow that with a colon to grammatically reveal that what follows this sentence, "Here the wisdom is," reveals to us just what the wisdom described in our verse 18 really is. So our verse now reads, "Here the wisdom is. He that has understanding, let him count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. The wisdom then is in counting or calculating the number of the beast, which is 666. And God tells us to count or calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. But the Greek word translated as a man can also just be translated as mankind. So what might God mean when he tells us to count or calculate the number of the beast, 666, for it is the number of a man? Or the other option, for it is the number of mankind. Let's first consider the translation, for it is the number of a man. So why might God tell us that wisdom is to count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man? Assuming that is the way it should be translated. The only single amen that could be the only single amen that could be represented or symbolized by the same number as the beast in the Bible would have to be the man of sin, because the beast, Satan, and the man of sin, the Antichrist, are one and the same. The only passage which uses the terminology man of sin is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where we read in verse 3 through 8, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day," that is the day of the coming of the Lord, "shall not come except there come a falling away first," that is the falling away of the Christian churches, "and that man of sin," who we already had reasoned is the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, Satan himself, "be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sits in the temple of God," that is, he rules in the corporate Christian church, "showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholds, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity does already work." That is, Satan was already working in the Christian church when this was written. "Only he," that is God the Holy Spirit, "who now lets," better translated as "who now restrains," "will let," that is restrain, "until he," that is God the Holy Spirit again, "be taken out of the way," that is out of the midst of the Christian church, as he was on May 21, 1988, to bring an end to the church age. and then shall that wicked one be revealed. Which also took place on May 21, 1988, when the church age ended and God's judgment began at the house of God. So the man of sin, or Antichrist, was not revealed by anyone physically seeing him, but by the Word of God. Yet most Christian churches today are deceived in this matter, and so do not see the man of sin as being one and the same as the devil. No, although they do recognize the man of sin to be the Antichrist, they think this man of sin or Antichrist will be a literal man who is yet to be revealed as some great religious and political figure who will be ushered in after the sacrifice of the red heifer in Jerusalem to begin the building of the physical Jewish temple. And he will bring peace to the Middle East and rule in this rebuilt physical Jewish temple. Oh, they will agree that Satan will live in this man who will be the Antichrist, yes, but they do not see this man of sin as Satan himself, and not a literal man at all, nor that he has already come and has been seated in the Christian churches, that is, the new temple of God, ever since after the cross, showing himself that he is God. Verse 4 above that I just read. After all, they reason, he's called the man of sin. So how can he be the devil himself, being called a man? Well, let's show all the Christian churches just how the man of sin is one and the same as not only the true Antichrist, but also Satan, the devil, the dragon himself. He is not a literal man. In fact, although God's use of the terminology man of sin in referring to the Antichrist in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 that we previously read makes it sound like the Antichrist would be a literal man, actually, the man of sin, who is the Antichrist, is not a literal man, but Satan himself. Christ makes this clear in Mark chapter 3, verse 27, and similarly in the parallel verse of Matthew 12, verse 29. We read in Mark chapter 3 about the Pharisees who claimed that Christ was able to cast out demons because he had the spirit of Satan, that is, of Beelzebub. And we read in verses 23 through 27, and he, that is Christ, called them unto him and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but has an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house, obviously Satan's house, and spoil his goods, except he will first blind the strong man, obviously referring to Satan himself, and then he will spoil his house. Again, Christ says in Luke chapter 11, verses 21 through 22, when a strong man, obviously referring to Satan, armed, keeps his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, obviously referring to when Christ had come upon the strong man Satan and had overcome him, he, that is Christ, takes from him all his armor within wherein he trusted and divides his spoils. Therefore, the strong man that Christ refers to in these verses is not a literal man, but the devil himself. Just like the man referred to as the man of sin in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is not a literal man, but Satan himself. Satan, the Antichrist, is referred to as the man of sin in this passage because in Scripture, a man is often used to typify Satan himself. And even in the Old Testament, God used men to typify Satan. For example, in Isaiah chapter 14, Satan is typified by the king of Babylon. The king of Babylon was not Satan, but a man. Nevertheless, he was used by God to typify or symbolize Satan. There we read in verses 4 all the way through verse 16 that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how has the oppressor ceased? The golden city ceased. The Lord has broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He who smote the people in wrath with a continual stroke, he that ruled the nations in anger is persecuted, and none hindereth. The whole earth is at rest and is quiet. They break forth into singing. Yea, the fir trees rejoice at thee, and the cedars of Lebanon, saying, since thou art laid down, no feller is come up against us. Hell from beneath is moved for thee to meet thee at thy coming. It stirs up the dead for thee, even all the chief ones of the earth. It has raised up from their thrones all the kings of the nations. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials. The worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? The word Lucifer is not in the Greek text, but it is better translated as Shining One, Son of the Morning. How art thou cut down to the ground, which just weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. That is, I, Satan, will bring my rule upon the very people of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. That is, I, Satan, will rule over the corporate Christian church in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? Notice how this passage starts out apparently speaking about the king of Babylon. Thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon, it said in verse 4. But then by careful analysis of the entire passage, it can be realized that God is teaching deeper spiritual truths about Satan himself. For instance, verses 12 through 14 state, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? That is, the word Lucifer is not in the Greek text, and it is better translated as Shining One. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Shining One, Son of the Morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which just weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. This is clear language that goes far beyond reference to the king of Babylon, for it obviously refers to Satan himself. He is the one who had fallen from heaven and who says in his heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, which means I, Satan, will bring my rule upon the very people of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, which means I, Satan, will rule over the corporate Christian church, which he began to do on May 21, 1988, when the church age ended and judgment came upon the house of God. And I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Notice that right after describing Satan in these verses, we read in verse 16, they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble and that did shake kingdoms? So, we have here a clear example of Satan himself being described as if he were a man. It does not mean that Satan, the Antichrist, who is called the man of sin, is a man, but only that he is typified or symbolized by the terminology of a man. Another example of a man who was used to typify Satan is seen in the Exodus of God's people from Egypt in the Old Testament. In this account, God's people were delivered from a man, Pharaoh of Egypt, by signs and wonders, but the deeper spiritual reality of all that was a picture of Christ, typified or symbolized by Moses, delivering his people from Satan, typified by a man, Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Yes, Pharaoh was a man, absolutely, but he was a type of Satan himself. Now, we could give other examples in the Bible where a man was used to actually point to the deeper spiritual reality of Satan. But my point is simply this. Satan is not called the man of sin in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 because he, the Antichrist, is an actual man. But simply because in the Bible a man is often used to typify Satan himself. The language of the man of sin is simply God's way of pointing to the deeper spiritual reality of Satan himself. Thus, the Antichrist, who is called the man of sin, is Satan himself and not a man. Indeed, we could say that all these Old Testament men that typified Satan have all been antichrists, yes. Just like we could say that all unsaved people have been and are antichrists. Nevertheless, they were and are not the fulfillment of the Antichrist prophesied to come and who already did come on May 21, 2011, Satan himself, to rule over the corporate Christian church, to be used of God to bring his judgment against them. For God's final judgment on this world had to begin at the house of God, 1 Peter 4:17. So now that we know the man of sin, the Antichrist, is not a literal man to yet come as a huge part of evangelical Christendom has been deceived to believe, but he is Satan himself, who has already come. Of course, we have been saying this all along in our studies. We now, returning to our verse, of study, we ask the question, why does God say that the wisdom is to count or calculate the number of the beast? 666, for it is the number of a man. Because the terminology of a man must refer to the man of sin, the Antichrist, as we have seen, we are simply being told, without even yet having counted or calculated the number of the beast, 666, that this number of the beast is also the same number of a man. And since we found this man to be none other than the man of sin, the Antichrist, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, God has revealed to us that the beast and the man of sin are one and the same, namely Satan himself, which we had already been teaching throughout chapter 13 of the book of Revelation. So first and foremost, our teaching throughout Revelation chapter 13 that the beast refers to Satan is here vindicated, because we are told that a man, namely the man of sin, who is the Antichrist, has the same number of the beast, 666, because the man of sin is the beast, and the beast is the man of sin, and they are both referring to Satan himself. This is why they are both symbolized by the same number, 666, or 666. But now alternatively, in our verse saying that the wisdom is to count or calculate the number of the beast, 666, our verse could then also be translated, for it is the number of not a man, but mankind. It is not the number of a man in this case, but it is the number of mankind. In this case, we're being told that the number of the beast is the number of mankind. And remember, the mark of the beast, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name, all represent or symbolize the same thing. Namely, that all who have the mark of the beast, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name, which having any one of these invisible and spiritual things, means that they serve and worship the beast, who is the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, also called the man of sin, the devil himself. So in that we are told that the number of the beast is the number of mankind, and having that number of the beast, as we have already stated, means the same thing as having the mark of the beast or the name of the beast, then to have the number of the beast, which we are told is also the number of mankind, must mean that mankind serves and worships the beast. And because the context of our verse in Revelation 13 is that of the corporate Christian church during the Great Tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011, and continued even to today, the term mankind must be primarily referring to all the unsaved people or mankind in the Christian churches. It is this mankind being focused upon in our verse. The number of the beast is the number of mankind in the Christian churches during the Great Tribulation, and even to this day, for they are all worshiping and serving the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, also called the man of sins, Satan himself, even though they don't even know it. The entire focal point of the Great Tribulation, then, has been on all the Christian churches. It has not been on a so-called Great Tribulation in the world that is yet to come, that the Christian church will be raptured out from. Wouldn't that be nice? No, the Great Tribulation already came, but it has been spiritual in nature and took place primarily in the Christian churches when God began his final judgment on the world. Where? At the house of God, or temple of God, which includes all Christian churches worldwide. This final judgment on the world began on May 21, 1988, when Satan, also called the man of sin, the Antichrist, who was above all other Antichrists that have ever been in the world, was released by God from the pit he had been bound in ever since the cross to be used by God as the counterfeit Christ who was given rule in the corporate Christian church, that is the temple of God, to make it spiritually desolate as it is to this very day through great deceptions, blasphemies, false gospels, false teachings, false spirits, false practices and traditions, false signs and wonders to validate the rule of the counterfeit Christ in the Christian churches, or by other similar false things. Now, our verse tells us that the wisdom is to count or calculate the number of the beast. How do we do that? We have learned that the number of the beast is the number of a man or mankind, depending on how we translate the verse. Either translation is legitimate. But now, what does it mean that the wisdom is to count the number of the beast, which is 666? We can look at it like this. The number 666 is 2/3 of the number 1,000. And the number 1,000 symbolizes completeness. And you can click on the number 1,000 to see that. And 2/3 was counted or calculated by dividing this 666 by 1,000, which is 0.666. So if we look at the number 666 in its decimal form, 0.666, it is 2/3 of 1,000, the number of completeness. Interestingly, the fraction 2/3 can hold great significance in the Bible. Spiritually speaking, it can symbolize the unsaved. For instance, we read in Zechariah chapter 13, verses 8 through 9. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, that is the land of Jerusalem, which typifies the church, saith the Lord, two parts, or we could say 2/3 therein, shall be cut off and die. But the third, or 1/3, shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and I will refine them as silver is refined, and I will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. Notice that 2/3 of the people identify with those who will be cut off and die from the land, while a third identifies with those who will be saved. In that Yahweh will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined and will try them as gold is tried. And in that Yahweh says of them further, they shall call on my name and I will hear them and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God, makes it clear that the third part identifies with those who are being saved by Yahweh, the eternal church. So the number a third identifies with those being saved, while the number 2/3 or two parts identifies with those being destroyed, the unsaved. And now, relating this back to the number of the beast, namely 0.666, which is 2/3, by God revealing that this number of the beast, 0.666 or 2/3, identifies with those who are being destroyed and are unsaved, makes perfect sense. For it is both the number of unsaved mankind in the Christian churches as well as the number of the beast, who is ruling over the Christian churches, because they will both relatively soon be destroyed from the land of God on the last day of the many days of judgment day that we are now in. So, the wisdom is to count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, that is, the man of sin, the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist and beast, Satan himself. And it is also the number of unsaved mankind. And when we count or calculate the number of the beast, which is 666, we come up with two-thirds to reveal that both a man, that is the man of sin, Satan himself, and unsaved mankind will soon be destroyed. This is the wisdom gained by counting the number of the beast, which is given to encourage us all. Now, until the next time, may Yahweh bless thee and keep thee. Yahweh make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. I love you all in Jesus Christ. Please pray for me and send me your prayer requests as well. Our Lord will keep you faithful to the very end.